His name. I love to praise
in the morning.
I love to praise
in the evening.
I love to praise
in the noontime.
I love to praise His
name.
I love to praise
His
name. I love to praise His holy name.
Let us be standing. Let us be standing. Life after college. Life after college. Transition from college to adulthood. That's the title. You heard the text. 2 Peter 1, 5 through 10. To the elders and deacons and Brother Gary and Brother Henley, thank you for having me here today. But also, for this very reason, give all diligence. Add to your faith virtue, to your virtue knowledge, to your knowledge self-control. To self-control perseverance. Perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if these things are yours, if you own them and abound, you will never be barren or unfruitful in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. You may be seated. You will never be barren. You will be fruitful. That's good. You know, Brother Henley is right. We got married 1986. We were 18-year-old kids. In August, we packed up everything we had in a Chevette. And we moved to El Paso. But like Jacob, we went away. We went away, and when we came back, we had 2 degrees and 3 kids. But more than that, we were able to bond as a husband and wife. We were able to hold on to the principles and the teachings that our parents had given us and instilled in us. And we were able to grasp that information and embody that information. And that's why I really like the text when it says, for if these things are yours. See, if they're yours, if you own them, young people. It was college weekend this weekend. If you own those principles, it doesn't matter where God takes you in this world. You will be able to hold on to those principles, and you will be able to use those principles for God. Now, see, some of you thought I was going to say for yourself. Mm-mm. See, if life was yours, then Scripture would speak of you laying down your life. But we don't lay down our life because it's not ours. We give up our life for Christ. So, in verses 5 through 15 are the essentials of Christian virtues, as the author says, and the efforts of Christian faith are 5 through 9, and it confirms your election in verse 10. So let's dive in. Verse 5 starts with faith. The building block starts with faith. Listen to this. Complete trust in someone or something. From the Greek, it means an eternal meaning. Young people that have participated in the college weekend Those of you who participated and also worked the college weekend, you're working for an eternal purpose. A legacy that will live past you, that will go on long after you're gone. That's what you're working for. But you're also working for an eternal purpose so that your reward is sure, unwavering. You don't have to worry about whether or not heaven is your goal. See, when you commit yourself, we're going to see. Think of a trust fall, if you will. If you ever known someone to participate in a group building activity and the person is doing trust fall, if I was standing on the top of this step and I said to Brother Henson, I'm going to do a trust fall. And he said, all right. I'm going to turn with my back to you, and all I'm going to do is say, I'm falling. And he's going to say, fall on. And he's going to catch me. I see y'all laughing. But ladies and gentlemen, that's faith. Faith involves you letting go. Letting go of what you think you know and holding on to what is sure that can be tested time and time again. See, that's faith. See, Peter wanted to make sure he marked the beginning of the transition of the Christian walk. Because, see, we know that Ephesians 2 and 1 says, say it like this. Please do not forget, we who are alive in Christ were once dead in our transgressions. Ephesians 2 and 5 says, we are made alive with Christ, even when we were dead. Colossians 2 and 13 says it like this. When you were dead in your sins, in an uncircumcised flesh, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins. See, that's a letting go. That's a letting go of what you thought was life. To take hold of, watch this, add to your faith virtue. And virtue is defined as the same word used earlier in verse 3. If I were to read verse 3, it says, as his divine power has given to us all that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue. See, that's good. So Peter refers to verse 3 when he's talking about virtue. But watch this. He's really referring to the character of Christ. See, we can't go wrong, ladies and gentlemen, if we're striving and we're working hard, young people. Those of you that are heading from high school to college, those of you that are coming out of college, getting ready to get into full adulthood, you can't go wrong if you hold on to the character of Christ, to moral excellence, as the Greek translated, moral excellence, uprightness. See, guess what? Many times, people try to produce virtue on their own. And don't get me wrong. People can live a virtuous life. They can. But Peter wanted to show us in this text that when in Christ, this virtue leads us, watch this, to Christ's righteousness and not our own. See, Christ's righteousness. See, he is going to be the one who says, well, on that judgment day, well, what about this as they read the book of experiences? Christ gonna say, I covered that. See. Now, if you on your own virtues, he can't say, my blood covered that. He can say with him, his blood covered that. Ladies and gentlemen, we don't want to be there. We want to be somewhere else. We cannot produce virtue by ourselves. However, we can choose to obey the prompting of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will lead us to the knowledge and understanding of God and our need for salvation. And to virtue, we will add knowledge. See? We're going to want to know more and more and more about this thing called salvation, about this thing called right standing, about moral excellence. We're going to want to know more. Again, the definition of knowledge. Fact. Full disclosure. See, in the Old Testament, they saw partly, halfway. But through Christ, we see in full. We see the whole picture, which causes me to marvel at what took me so long. Yeah, I'm a baby in Christ. I'll go ahead and tell you. Yes, took me so long to obey this thing called the gospel. But when I did, my eyes were completely open and I began to go, what is my family into? And I'm still asking your prayers as I continue to share the gospel with my immediate family. Okay? Romans 1 and 20 says it like this about knowledge. From the creation of the world, the invisible things of him are clearly seen, being understood through the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they will be without excuse. See, in 2 Peter, knowledge is gained by learning God's truth in Scripture and putting that truth into action. As you transition into college, your faith and knowledge of God, ladies and gentlemen, those of you who are going to college, it's going to be tested. It's going to be tried. See, there was a time, and I'm looking and I see some seasoned saints in the audience. There was a time when God was in the classroom. There was a time when people were not afraid to tell children about God in the classroom. But we live in a day where it's all about man's knowledge. So your knowledge and your virtue and your faith, girls and boys, ladies and gentlemen, those of you who are working on your third and fourth doctorate, you know who you are. It's going to be tested. It's going to be shaken. But know this, if you hold on to that truth, you'll prevail. Through Christ, you will prevail. Amen. See, in the classroom, Brother Henson said, Brother Henley said I taught. I did, 25 years. And in that classroom, a student asked me, my last year of teaching, Coach Bloom, do you believe in God? I said, yes. Yes, I do. How do you know there's a God? I said, well, here we go. I said, well, I'm going to explain it to you like this, and hopefully you'll get it. I said, you like science, don't you? Oh, God, I excel at science. I said, well, it's going to be easy then. There's water, there's ice, and there's steam. There's the Father, there's the Son, there's the Holy Spirit. All three are forms of water, but yet they're still water. All three of kid went, oh, that was deep. I wasn't expecting that. I said, see, the evidence is you don't question whether there's a tree out there. That tree didn't just grow itself. It has absolute design, and an oak tree will produce an oak tree from now to the time Christ come back. Because he designed it to do such. And a man will produce a child. As the History Channel says, the man, watch this, gives the growth gene to the child, not the woman. He gives the growth gene, and at conception, watch this, ladies and gentlemen, it's determined how tall that child is going to grow. From who? The man. Through his seed, he gives life. See, his seed is called spermogenesis. Genesis. The beginning of life. See, man produces life. The woman gives life. And together, God has put in us the ability to create. See, let that marinate for a while. See, that's knowledge. But if you don't know, See, you guys thought I was talking about procreation, didn't you? God put in us the ability to create life. See, all we have to do is embrace the gospel, and we produce life after life after life when we share the gospel. Life after life after life. See, that's good. That's real good. So then, to this knowledge, we add self-control. Self-control means master of one's emotions rather than being controlled by them. Master of one's emotions. See, we live in a world just like Peter's. They didn't want to be self-controlled. They did not want to have barriers. They wanted to be able to do what they felt when they wanted. You guys know I'm not talking about Peter, right? Ladies and gentlemen, it doesn't matter what year it is. If man is not governed by God, there is no limit to what he will think and what he will do. But when he's governed by God, now, it's filtered. Your thoughts are filtered through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will prompt you and cause you to begin to go, you know, even if that's a good thing, see, it may not be that that good thing is something you should be doing. It's not just the bad things. It may not be the direction God wants to take you at that particular time in your life. So, be self-controlled. See, Sprite says it like this. Obey your thirst. Let me say that again. Obey your thirst. So whatever you want to do, just obey. Ladies and gentlemen, you have to rein in. For those of you in the audience that grew up on farms, you have to rein in. You want to slow that horse down, you got to pull back on the reins. And if you don't pull back on the reins, you let them reins run loose, that horse gonna run loose. You find yourself going in the direction you don't want to go. Being somewhere you don't want to be. When you're supposed to be the master of who you are. But to self-control, perseverance. Perseverance is described as this: a person who exercises self-control will not easily, watch this, will not easily be discouraged or tempted to quit. Peter helps us by encouraging us to view all circumstances as coming from a loving Father. Amen. Think of a child who loves their father or their mother. The child would not refuse a gift from a loving father or mother. In contrast, if a father or mother is not loving, child gonna refuse the gift. A father that has been absent, a mother that has been absent, that has not been in their life, that has not invested in them. The parents show up with a gift. The child is enraged, really, at the circumstances, not so much at the parent. At the circumstances that God, you gave me to them, and then they didn't reciprocate with love. See, when you peel back all the layers, you get down to, it comes down to love. So he encourages us, persevere, stay the course. Reminiscing a little bit back to UTEP, first semester, we were using a payphone. We were using a payphone, and we put all those quarters in there and in the payphone and for 2 minutes. But Allison had just told her mother that she was pregnant, and her mother was weeping on the other end. And I made a promise to her mother. See, her mother started school, she got pregnant, and then she stopped. So that's why she was weeping. I told her mother, she will graduate. I give my word. I don't care what I have to do. She will graduate. Not only did she graduate with a degree in accounting, she went on back and got a teaching certificate. Then she went on and got a law degree, and she's still educating herself. And her mother and my mother, she looked at me and she said, "You kept your promise." I said, "Oh, yes, ma'am. I come from a long line of promise keepers instead of promise breakers. If I give you my word on something, I'm going to do it. Or I'm going to die trying." Which leads us to godliness. Peter used this word to speak of the need for Christians to be continually aware of God's presence. Our lives are in God's hands and his influence. when we obey the gospel. Every aspect of our lives, when we obey the gospel, is controlled by God. God is our filter. The scripture is our filter. The Holy Spirit is our filter. It will guide us into all righteousness and knowledge. And to that godliness, brotherly kindness. Brotherly kindness is so closely linked to godliness. 1 John 4 and 20 says it like this. If anyone says, I love God, but hates his brother, he is a liar. Plain and simple. You know, I just can't seem to get along with all people. But that's okay. The Holy Spirit will help you get there. He will take you where you need to grow. Because, see, the Holy Spirit is not dealing with the outside man. He's dealing with the inside. And to this brotherly kindness, add love. Love refers to God kind of love, agape love. That love that is indifferent. That love which originates from the one who loved. Us first. God loved because he is love. It is his character. 1 John 4 and 8 says it like this. He who does not love does not know God. For God is love. So young people, when you're going out there trying to find a wife, a husband, and you're saying, I'm trying to find love, start with God. Amen. If you start with God, I promise you this, you will not go wrong in finding a spouse. Amen. If you start with God. If God is your husband or wife first, I promise you this, you will not go wrong. Amen. You will find that one and be blessed like my wife and I, 30 years, like my wife's parents, 50. See, I pulled back my ear right now and water just run down. You understand? I'm still wet behind the ears when it comes to them. So every chance I get, I go down to Hempstead, Texas, where her father is the pulpit minister for Hempstead Church of Christ. And I say, Dad, share with me. Share with me. Tell me how to live this life so I can better love your daughter. See, in other words, that's a mentorship in this love. Amen. God is always mentoring us. See, men grow up, the men I grew up with said it like this. You must be willing to lay down your life for your wife and your family. Without hesitation. And they meant it. And that's the same virtue I pass to my sons. I don't care who comes in the house. If my son leaves this world defending his wife, then I get a call from the wife. But I better not get a call from you talking about your wife did. Or my wife said it like this when we used to go fishing. I used to take them, you realize I'm real young. One time I was fishing and my
my youngest boy who just came back from Afghanistan. I took everything to one side of the lake, and I came back to get him, and I told he and his brothers to sit on the cooler. And when I got around to the other side, I heard a splash, and he was in the water. Now, he had a life jacket on, but he couldn't swim. Now, Brother Gary knows I ran track in college, and I don't know how fast I got there. But let me pause to tell you, I can't swim. But I hit the water. I hit the water, and I put him on land. Now, how I got out, I don't know. Because the water was over my head, but I know this. All I was thinking was, I can't call her and tell her her son has died, because she was going to say, you better throw yourself back in there. Don't even bother coming home. You let my son drown. See, y'all get it. See, when you add all of these things together, you will be fruitful. The text says in verse 8, none-bearing and unfruitful. See, when you don't put these things in your life, you don't produce. You don't produce in your life. You don't produce in your family's life. You don't produce in your community. You don't produce. You're barren. You're unfruitful. So then, make sure that you own them. Make sure that you own all of them. Make sure that you add to your faith virtue, and to your virtue knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance. Don't quit. See, if you're reading in 1 Peter, they were going through all kinds of trials, all kinds of persecution. Don't quit. Stay with it. It's not here that you're trying to stay. You're trying to go to your heavenly goal. So don't quit. But if you do, verse 9, you're short-sighted. He gets right to the point. See, you're short-sighted. You're blind. You can't see. You can't find your way. See, if you've ever been to a rehab class, many times people make the statement, I never meant to go this far. I don't know how I got here. See, you're blind. In college, people made the statement, man, I was at that party. I don't know how I got home. What do you mean you don't know how you got home? I don't know what I was doing. Ladies and gentlemen, if you hold on to these virtues, you'll know what you're doing. You will be in your right mind. You will be under self-control, and you will, watch this, you will not forfeit the prize. In application, many things are pulling the family in the morning. Ladies and gentlemen, give your child direction. Amen. Each one of my sons, before they left, I had some quality time with them. Anytime they come and visit, I always shoot them in a direction before I let him go. See, Psalms 127, 4 through 5 says it like this. Children are like an arrow in your hand. You have to shoot them where you want them to go. Please don't be that parent that says, I'm just going to let my child find their own way. I don't want to be too much of an overbearing influence on them. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm talking like some of those people that I was counseling with in as a coach and as a teacher in a parent conference. I don't know what happened to my kid. I tried to give him the freedom to. I said, Lord, please, please, please let me say the right thing. Just give me the right words to say, because this is foolishness. Son, I need you to step out the room. Because what I have to say, the child can't hear. Ma'am, sir, you're in this mess because you let them find their own way. And now you calling on me, telling me to give them corporal punishment. I mean, run them to their can't stand up anymore. Corporal punishment. See, there was a time you got too swatchy, you went on your way. Now, it's extra work time. After practice, kid already tired, and they bear crawling, doing push-ups, sit-ups, because you let them find their own way. Am I saying I never did anything wrong? Mm-mm. I told you I got married at 18. I love that little lady with all my heart. She had an academic scholarship to Texas A&M. She married me, turned it down, went to UTEP for no money. Now you tell me, have I ever done anything wrong? That first semester, we almost starved. She'll tell you. We went down to food stamps and they told us, if you quit school, you qualify for food stamps. Are you serious? If I quit school, I will be on food stamps the rest of my... We'll make it. And I'll tell you this as I close. Every time it seemed like we didn't have. Every time it seemed like we didn't have, a check was in the mail. Unsolicited. Every time we didn't have, got that, young brother? It was in the mail. You can't tell me you're gonna beat God. You can't tell me that. No one can tell me that. Why? God has always, always been there for my family. Always. So then, ladies and gentlemen, lay aside, as the Hebrew writer said, lay aside every weight and sin that so easily entangles or entraps you. And let us run with patience this race. But ladies and gentlemen, if you're not in this race, you got an opportunity. As we stand, you have an opportunity.
In my heart, sometimes I wonder, as down life's road, I wonder. Over yonder. And where peace.